Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Now and forever.
We continue to consider in parallel Jesus, the servant of the Lord, and Judas, the betrayer of our Lord. Mysteriously, even by his betrayal, Judas serves the Lord, but unknowingly and without merit. Isaiah has a difficult lesson to teach in this first reading, so he goes step by step so as to not lose his readers. I'll follow an alternative translation for some of this. The Lord God has given me a disciple's tongue, for me to know how to give a word of comfort to the weary. Those who suffer in this world are often weary and need to hear a word of comfort. Through Isaiah, Christ speaks to them as a disciple who has learned from Christ the value of suffering. A disciple has learned from God the value of suffering. Morning after morning, he makes my ear alert to listen like a disciple. Every morning he listens to the Lord in prayer to learn wisdom, and God opens his ear, that is, he gives him the grace to hear and accept what God is saying. Christ speaks here of Christ as man. As such, he can learn from experience what he already knows perfectly in a theoretical way. In this sense, the letter to the Hebrews says he learned obedience through what he suffered. This is a difficult lesson to accept. One might say, like the disciples at Capernaum, this is a hard saying, who can listen to it? Those can who accept the grace to do so. Christ and the Christians who follow their Master, trusting in him even when he leads them towards suffering. And we need this trust. We need to have this courage. They can say, the Lord God has opened my ear, and I have not resisted. I have not turned away. By his grace, the servant of God does not close his ears to his Lord's message. He has learned not to resist his sufferings, not to turn away from them. For if they are God's will, good will come of them, even if the opposite would seem more likely. If Jesus is the Messiah, if he has come to teach the nations, how can he teach the nations if he dies on the cross? How can he establish his kingdom if he dies? So it would seem that the cross is totally contrary to Jesus being the Messiah, and yet it is essential to his mission in God's plan. The servant does not suffer because he is wicked, but because he is righteous. His uprightness and forthrightness attract the crowds, but arouse the envy of the hypocrites. And because he is righteous, he is able to merit by his sufferings. As a well-trained disciple, he knows that he is fulfilling his mission, that very mission that we heard about yesterday and the day before in the first two songs of the servant of the Lord. This is why he does not resist his persecutors, but bears all, knowing that great good will come of it, for the Lord God is his help. The psalmist says in the voice of Christ, so also the psalm today sheds light on the passion. The psalmist says, zeal for your house consumes me. These are the words that Jesus' disciples recalled in relation to the first cleansing of the temple. On that occasion he declared, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And he was speaking about the temple of his body. That temple will be destroyed in the passion, but rebuilt in his resurrection. And the latter glory of that house will be greater than the former. He will not be put to shame. In the end, his sufferings will be his glory. As with Lazarus, the illness was not to end in death, but was for the glory of God, so too the story of the Messiah, the story of Christ, is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God. But it is, like that of Lazarus, to pass through death. And so these sufferings will in the end be his glory. The sufferings will be his glory, and he will have the glory of the resurrection. And as St. Paul says, this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. In the gospel we heard, we can see some of this not turning away playing out. This year we heard this passage as part of Sunday's Passion Gospel. In it, Jesus, who took the form of a servant, was sold for the price of a slave. The events in today's Gospel took place on Wednesday and Thursday of the Great Week. After the Lord's solemn entry on Sunday with palms and hosannas, he spent Monday and Tuesday teaching in the temple. The Pharisees and Sadducees tried to trap him with difficult questions, but Christ answered well each time. And in the end, they gave up the attempt. On Wednesday, Jesus stayed in Bethany. But Judas went to Jerusalem to betray him, as we heard. As prophesied, Christ did not resist Judas's betrayal in the sense of stopping it. However, he did try to awaken his betrayer's conscience so that he would not be lost. Before that, he kept himself from being handed over to the chief priests before the time appointed by the Father. This is the purpose of the mysterious way he designated the place for the Last Supper. He sent Peter and John to prepare the place and to have the lamb sacrificed and roasted to make all the necessary preparations for the Last Supper, but in such a way that Judas would not know in advance where the group was going. In this way, he was able to celebrate without interruption the Last Supper, where he offered himself in sacrifice, instituted the Eucharist and the priesthood of the New Covenant, and also made another attempt, almost the last attempt, to save Judas. This curious way of designating the place also serves another purpose. It should have shown the apostles, especially Peter and John, who had the experience directly, that Jesus knows the future. Jesus knows everything, and events are proceeding according to plan. That realization should have helped them to accept Jesus' betrayal and capture as part of God's plan, but they were not sufficiently open to that. Also in Gethsemane, we see that Jesus clearly knew what was going to happen, but he did not resist, he did not turn back. On the contrary, he said, "Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." He did not say, "Let us be going away," but "Let us be going to meet him and not to fight him," even though Peter had his sword, but rather to be betrayed. "Let us go to meet him to be betrayed, to be captured, or that I may be captured and you released." And so it was. So in all this, Jesus teaches us a radical trust in God, a trust which fears nothing except disobeying him. And he shows that this trust in God, this fear of nothing but sin, leads us into glory. Praised be Jesus and Mary.
Amen.